Hello, and welcome to Evergreen Pinecone Podcast, where we have conversations about issues that are important to you, like faith and family, religion and relationships, Christianity and the church, and a whole lot more. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy Art and Wes as they have a conversation on Evergreen Pinecone Podcast. Welcome to our show. Welcome to the Evergreen Podcast. I'm Art, sitting here today in the studio with Wes and Lacey. Lacey, how are you doing? Lacey's our special guest. We forgot to say that.
Our permanent special guest.
Permanent special guest.
How are you doing, Lacey?
I'm great. How are you?
When does she get promoted to host?
I don't know. Ask Jay Leno.
How about hostess?
Yeah.
Hostess. I'll do whatever you want.
Okay.
And Wes is also here with us.
What am I?
You are
co-host?
We're all co-hosts.
Today we're all co-hosts.
Yeah.
Then we have to have another guest.
At some point.
I think it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But we are glad to be here, and we're glad that you are listening to us this afternoon, and hope you're enjoying, if you're listening right now, the last warm air of today, as we have some winter weather coming our way. So thanks for listening, and I'm going to turn to you, Wes, today, to kind of introduce our topic of what we want to talk about on our podcast.
Well, on this topic, or on this podcast, we've had a lot of fun. We've joked around quite a bit, but this is a pretty serious topic, but we've addressed some serious topics. And a couple things come together. One is we've actually discussed miscarriages
mm-hmm.
quite a bit on this podcast the last few times.
Yes.
And so then I was also reading a friend of mine who was a part of my church back in South Dakota, and his wife was also a part of our church there, and I actually performed their wedding on a butte in western South Dakota. He wrote an article on infertility, and the reason he wrote the article was probably manifold, but one is that they have struggled with infertility. And I didn't really know that. But I thought the article really captured something that I needed to think about and then had fit in well with our discussions. And it was good for me to hear his experience of that and how he processed that. And it just brought an awareness. And I thought we should have a discussion with that. And I think it would be good and helpful to people to know both sides of this, to think about those who are not having children, that they may be struggling with infertility, and to just tell those who are struggling with that they're not alone,
mm-hmm.
And perhaps some ways that some things that they can consider as they process that. So that's my basic idea for this podcast.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with, I mean, let's just say right out front, we are not experts. We're the last people but that's kind of what we wanted. We didn't want to bring in an expert. We wanted to discuss it from the perspective of how we can better approach it with others, right?
I would say I'm uniquely unqualified. to discuss this, and that's why that article, I think in part because of my relationship with him and his wife, just really made me think about this subject as a subject that I have not considered. I've not felt the pain of it myself. My wife and I have 7 children, and we didn't have any struggle mm-hmm. to have those 7 children. We've not struggled with this issue. And so it was just really good for me to think about the fact that not everybody is like me, that they have that experience. And one of the things that my friend said in his article was that often people would come and talk to him, and they would just say, "So when you guys having kids?" And it was just like a knife, mm-hmm. you know, being stuck between the ribs and twisted because it hurt. They wanted to have kids and they weren't able to. And so they were struggling, and someone asks that. Oftentimes in innocence, you know, mm-hmm. they weren't trying to hurt them, and yet they did. And so I think that one of the things I wanted to encourage people in light of my own experience is just to be more aware of that reality is out there, and that we need to be thinking about that and thinking about other people and what their experiences are, especially when they're different than ours.
You don't want to be afraid to say anything at all, but you want to be kind of aware that that things you say, who could be taking them a certain way. One thing I think about, you said that they ask, when are you going to have kids? That sometimes, and I've heard this at Evergreen, at our church. We all go to Evergreen Church. Wes is the pastor at Evergreen Church. Saying, there's a lot of babies being born. God's really blessing our congregation. And as someone who's struggling with infertility might say, oh, well, he's not blessing me.
So
they could take it. It was unintentional, but that it's like you said, it's kind of like a knife going in.
Well, and I would say, so that's maybe a good question for us to consider, because I would say we have babies. That is a blessing.
Sure.
That's an actual blessing that we have received and for which we should give thanks. It's one of the great blessings of this life, which is
but
one
sometimes
thing that
that's followed with, well, there's something in the water. You know, how many times you heard this? Oh, there's lots of babies being born around here. There's something in the water. And then someone who's struggling with that, that's kind of taken light. All you have to do is drink water and you have a baby.
Okay.
But then the couple or the mother might be thinking, or the wife might be thinking, well, you know, it's not happening for me.
Why not me? Yeah. I've appreciated that you guys wanted to discuss this topic, because I think it's one the church sometimes wants to avoid because we don't know what to say to people. Kind of like when we had our podcast on suffering, we talked about people want something to say, but usually they say something that is really, really hurtful. And so I think we can be grateful for the blessing of children, and we should say that children are a blessing, but also just being mindful of the people around you. And in saying children are a blessing, maybe there is someone that God is laying on your heart to pull aside and say, can I pray for you? Or I think the question that I have found that is like, we can go into this in a little bit, my unique interactions with infertile couples, but the question that I have found most helpful is, are you planning on having children? And because I think sometimes that is a gentle way to open the door mm-hmm. for them to say, well, actually, we're struggling with having children. And then it gives you an opportunity to pray for them and rather than just assuming that they are just, you know, sowing their wild oats or something and they don't want to have kids yet.
Right.
So, yeah.
Sometimes it can come down to minding your own business, too. If
sometimes,
you're not close
yeah.
enough, I mean, get close. The people that you're close to, you should ask that. But.
Yeah, I think it definitely is you want to have a relationship with someone. And that's why I find that question, are you planning on having children, a good door opener? Because if you don't have a great relationship, then they can say what they want about that. And if you do have a good relationship, then it's a good place for them
to open up.
To say.
Yeah.
But it's still probably not the first question you want to ask a couple when you meet them.
Oh, no. But
Hi, nice
think
to meet you. Are you planning on having children?
Yeah. Being in the, I guess in the context of we're in church and we're saying, oh, children are a blessing, but also just being mindful of the couples that are around you and knowing the people in your church well enough to be able to ask that question.
I'll give you a good example of something that is parallel to that, and that is the holidays. You know, Christmas time can be so exciting, especially here in Sevier County. I mean, you've got Christmas everywhere for months, and it is great, and it's fun. But so you have this excitement that Christmas is coming and people anticipating things for a lot of people, but you also have to remember that Christmas can be one of the worst times of the year for people who've lost loved ones, mm-hmm. for people who are, especially if they're experiencing that for the first time, or for people who are alienated from their families and feel like they're alone, it can be a terrible time.
Mm-hmm.
And so often when I've talked about Christmas in church or in other contexts as well, I will just say, it's great to have this time of the holidays, but let's also remember that it's also a time of struggle for a lot of people. And so let's just be aware of that. Or, you know, same point on Mother's Day,
yeah.
Father's Day, and so on.
Yeah. I think just remembering that everyone is fighting some sort of battle, I think can just keep you mindful of the people around you rather than, but it's hard too, because you don't want to temper the joy that people have over pregnancies or holidays, or, I mean, those are things to be celebrated. But you do just want an awareness. I think that is loving well, having an awareness of the people around you and, being sensitive to what might be going on in their life.
Yeah, it's other awareness is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about that, and it's something that you have to develop. I mean, some of us are better at that than others, but it's something that you have to develop. And it's by listening to people, by hearing of their experiences, by realizing that people struggle with things that you haven't struggled with. You know, but especially when you're young and you haven't necessarily really been knocked in the teeth that yeah. much. I remember in seminary, someone came and gave a talk on the life of John Calvin. And John Calvin, throughout his life, struggled with all kinds of diseases. And he had gout, and he had all these things that he was struggling with all the time. And yet he kept working, and he was sick. And one of these young seminarians in his early 20s in class said, "Well, I'm glad we don't struggle like that today." And one of my professors mentioned that to me, and he says, "You know, I actually kind of have that pain every single day."
Hmm.
And it's just that you haven't experienced it, or you haven't heard others. I mean, this was a good kid, young man, but he just hadn't grown his awareness of the struggles that other people have, and we all need to grow in that.
Yeah. I think one of the things that is the biggest thing when you're struggling with infertility is bitterness, and trying to deal with those hurts without becoming angry at God, I guess. For Ben and I have had some good friends who have struggled with infertility in various ways. One of my best friends, in her first few years of marriage, found out that that they were going to struggle with infertility. And then within the first 3 months of our own marriage, we experienced a miscarriage. And so there were all kinds of questions about, is that going to be our story? Bitterness came sweeping in very, very quickly of, you know, you spend your whole life trying to serve God and do the right thing. And then that first time that you are knocked in the teeth, you're wondering, okay, I know God is good, but is he good to me? Especially when you're looking around watching other people be blessed. Do you guys feel like is that something you have felt before, bitterness, or in any of the, I know you guys experienced miscarriage.
We had, yeah, in between, we have two. We had a miscarriage in between.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about bitterness, but I do know that it was surprising to me to find out how many others had gone through the same struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably what was the most helpful, was kind of opening that up and being willing to discover that.
Yeah.
In others, being willing. You know, I think in all these situations we're talking about, but probably especially this one, the worst thing you can say is, I know exactly what you're going through, when you have no idea
yeah.
what the person's going through.
Yeah.
But when someone can say, you know, we had a miscarriage too. They do know what you're
going
through.
They know a little of your pain.
So that kind of helps keep the bitterness, you know, for both of us.
And infertility, just finding out that you may not be able to have children, I think trying to find others who may have gone through that or a little further on that journey can be really helpful, because then all of those fresh feelings of hurt and anger that you might be dealing with, you can kind of ask, you know, how did you deal with that? What are the things that you came to? And it took me a good year after our miscarriage to really kind of come to some sort of answer of why this hurt. Why is this something that God is allowing in my life? Because for me, I felt like it was something he had done to me. Like, this is some sort of punishment, or I didn't do something right. And so it was just a good year of me wrestling and dealing with some deep depression before one night really felt like I was wrestling with God. Like, I just was in so much despair, and I really felt like I was wrestling with God, like Jacob. And I just remember thinking, why would you allow this? And then very clearly feeling like he said, this is not my plan. This is not my purpose. This is the result of sin, and you are feeling it, but I have provided a way out of this. And so that was, I think, the first kind of chip at the bitterness in my heart, of like realizing that the pain of infertility and being able to have children, or the loss of a child, was the result of sin, and God allowing me to kind of feel all of those feelings was him trying to make me more like Jesus, and realizing like I need a savior from this. Death stinks, pain stinks, loss stinks, but he's provided a way out. And so I think if you are dealing with infertility and you're dealing with that hurt and that constant sting every time someone tells you that they're pregnant, going back to the scriptures and seeing God provided a way out of this. You provided a way out of this. And I read a really good book called Every Bitter Thing is Sweet by Sarah Haggerty. And I highly, highly recommend it for everyone. But she does specifically deal with infertility and loss in that. And she talks about something called adoration in there, where you're reading the scripture, specifically the Psalms, realizing who God is through each of those stories and saying it back to him. Like, you are my defender. You are the God who sees me. You are the God who loves me. You are the God who came to me in my sin. You know, even when I was still a sinner, you still loved me. You loved me enough to come. And those things kind of started to help really start chipping away at those hurts in my heart and softening them. Just remembering that God has provided promises for every hurt, and that he is who he says he is. So I don't know if those are things you'd like to jump off of.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you know, is there anything besides what we've talked about here that you would recommend for people in the church, especially as a church family, that would be helpful, in your opinion, for those who are struggling with infertility?
Those who are struggling with infertility, any sort of like resources?
I'm just saying, what's something... Is there anything that we could do as a church, or things we should think about, approaches we should take that might be helpful?
You're talking about people you know are struggling.
Or people maybe you don't know that people are struggling. Either way. I think making yourself aware of it is a huge, huge step. Just knowing that there are people, and a lot of people, who are struggling with it is a huge step for the church. And then I think just... being willing to let God, let the Holy Spirit lead you in those areas. If you see somebody who is childless in your church, ask God how you can love them best. You don't know if they're struggling with infertility or not, but just trust the Holy Spirit's guiding on whether or not, you know, that's someone you need to approach or someone you need to figure out if you can love them well, or maybe you need to ask that question. Are you planning on having kids? And just give them a listening ear. Listening, we've talked about this with suffering and loss in general, but being willing to let someone share their heart on whatever it is that they're going through is huge for people dealing with infertility or miscarriage. One of the things that I wanted more than anything was someone to validate that my baby lived, or that, you know, that there was a life that was lost here. But for people struggling with infertility, they want people to validate that their dream might be lost. You know, that women particularly, from the time they're a child, dream of being a mom. And so when that dream is dashed and your body is not allowing you to do the thing that you're supposed to do as a woman, and you have no control over whether or not you can't fix it, there's nothing you can do to fix it, then it's such a painful thing. So to have someone that's willing to listen, so training yourself on being a good listener, I think would be a good thing to do.
You know, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, don't exclude couldn't we have a tendency, like, to know someone struggling with that, so kind of exclude, well, don't invite her to the baby shower, or don't show the pictures of the new. And the reason I think about that, I didn't really confirm where I could share this, so I'm gonna kind of limit exactly what I say, but my daughter and son-in-law recently had a baby, and she had her best friend and her husband were struggling with mm-hmm. with infertility, and it would have been really easy to try to avoid, you know, including her friend mm-hmm. in that, but she purposefully and intentionally drew her in, had her come into the delivery room and take pictures of the newborn baby and things like that, to make her a part of the celebration, part of it.
I think giving them the option is really.
Well, yeah, I mean, so when I say she made it, but she gave her to include her in that, and it really helped both her and her husband to kind of be a part of that celebration, because they struggled with the bitterness
mm-hmm.
you're talking about, and even in the waiting room made the comment, you know, it's hard to be happy,
yeah,
for someone who's having a baby when we can't,
yeah,
but then as soon as they were kind of pulled into the celebration of it, it really helped.
Yeah, I think giving someone the option, I would never exclude them from your baby shower or any sort of announcement, or just asking, like, would you like to see pictures? Would you like to come to the baby shower? And not being hurt if they don't. Because you do have that joy. You've been given that blessing and they haven't. And whether or not you understand it, being okay with their reaction is huge.
So one of the things that strikes me as we're talking about this, just making me think a little bit more broadly on this topic, you know, there's all sorts of kind of hidden or not so hidden struggles that people have. And you kind of have your picture perfect Hallmark life,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then you have things that diverge from that in some way. And those are the things that we should be aware of. One of those is sexual abuse and physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're talking about parents, it's if someone has had that, and the more intensely, you know,
mm-hmm.
They've experienced that, then they're not going to hear positives concerning that parent.
Right.
And another example is singleness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're often like, when are you going to get married? Right.
Right.
And then And even just remember that in for every, almost like every good milestone for the family or for an individual, there's someone who's struggling with either not have either the lack of that or the or an abuse of that or a something that happened that was bad and very difficult in relationship to that.
Yeah, but I'm so thankful that we have a good God who wants to use those things for our good. But it's so hard to hear that in the moment of your pain. whether it is an abuse situation, whether it's infertility. And one of the things I've tried to do just with the women of our church, if we are celebrating something like Mother's Day, is all of the women can have a flower. It's not just going to be for those women that, you know, like all of us, God is using us in other people's lives in so many ways. So celebrating Mother's Day is great, but you might be a spiritual mother to someone, even if you don't have your own kids. You might have a desire to be a mother, and that is important too. And so just making sure you're including people and validating different situations as a church is certainly a good thing. And kind of on that same note, motherhood in general, whether it's you want your desire to be a mother, whether being in the midst of dealing with a loss of a child, whether it's being in the midst of parenting children or being in the midst of empty nest, that is a sanctification process in so many different ways. It's amazing to me to think about the ways that motherhood looks different for everyone, but God is using all of those situations for our good and for his glory. I've said this a couple times. I really believe that the verse, I think it's in Timothy, where Paul is saying that she will be saved through childbearing. Is that women will be saved through childbearing? I think it's in Timothy. That childbearing is not just the process of bearing a child, but the process of desiring to be a mother and the way that God uses that whole process
it means in our that lives. If you have children, then you'll be saved. And if you don't, you won't.
That's not true.
Oh, okay. I mean, it sounds like that. I actually think it refers to
Jesus.
To the birth of Christ.
Yes.
Because it's actually a the childbearing.
I've never heard the childbearing, but that's good. But I think sanctification is a process, like motherhood is a process. There's such a vastly different array of situations out there that God uses to make us more like Jesus.
I think that's one of those texts that could really go wrong.
Yeah.
And probably one of those texts that all pastors, like, I'm preaching through 1 Timothy, and they're like, oh, no.
except for that.
The whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Guest pastor.
Yeah, that's right. Guest pastor.
Yes.
I got to take a vacation.
Go ahead and cover that for me.
Could you cover this next section?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, going back to the goodness of God,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, and this is what, you know, I want to do just as a human being and as a pastor is to be more aware of what others are experiencing. And, you know, one of the things I would say, you know, just for me is I've not arrived at complete other awareness.
Right.
You know, and if you've experienced something from me, you know, at that, you're like, man, he had no clue. Which does happen
mm-hmm.
more often than I'd like. You know, I'd love to hear that feedback because it's like, that's how I'm going to grow. You know, then I can say, oh man, I totally missed that.
That's really a unique situation though. Most people don't want to be told, you really misheard me there.
Yeah, I know. And it's, and I can't say like, I totally relish it.
Right.
Like, this is like my greatest experience to know that I did it wrong.
Right.
But it's like something I do want in my heart, and it's something that I know I need. And so like, just even reading that article, it's like, I'm not real close to them right now. You
sure.
know, they're off in Colorado and I'm here and we haven't talked a lot. But it's just like, it just never occurred to me.
Yeah.
And so like being made aware of that was really good. And it's like, because, I mean, what are we here for? We're here to love the Lord and to love other people. And the way we love people well is understanding where they are.
Yeah.
Understanding who they are.
And if you if you are struggling with that, just like other situations you might struggle with, know that God is going to use those things in other people's lives as well. We had shared our story of miscarriage in a Bible study we were doing. And after I had shared all of it, a girl came up to me and shared that she had known since she was 16 years old that she was not going to be able to have a child. And so I was actually pregnant with our second son at that time period, and I heard God say, you could carry a child for her. And so that started our journey of walking through some infertility with them and actually being a surrogate for them. So I've really just probably become pretty sensitive because of being able to walk through that with them. And I'm thankful to have been able to. But
so you've entered into it pretty fully.
Yeah. A little bit. You know, she and I have had a ton of conversations just about how unaware people are of, you know, whether it's a woman who's decided to be, you know, that pregnancy is difficult. And so she just complains about it all the time, or which I get. I've been pregnant. It's not fun all the time. But just being aware of the people around you again is just a really important way to be other aware.
And it shows, you know, one way we help people believe in the goodness of God and God's love for them is by us showing love to them.
Mm-hmm. So.
Lacey, thanks for sharing.
Thank you with us
today and opening yourself up to that.
Thanks for letting me.
Appreciate that. And Wes, thanks for listening to her share. No, thanks for sharing your heart that you want to be open to people and to love well. And I think Lacey was right. A lot of people and a lot of pastors don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks. And thanks for reminding us. I think you're often reminding us just to ask someone else, tell me about your story. Tell me about your loss. And I think that's bigger. Instead of going up to someone and saying, you know, well, God works all things for good. It's, tell me about it. Tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
And to really care and to want to hear that.
And before we do close, I just want to say that if someone listening to this is struggling in that area and just wants someone to listen, I think all three of us would be willing to, but please reach out. If not to one of us, just to someone else, because sharing your story and allowing someone to walk alongside you in that is really important.
It is. Thanks, Lacey. Thanks, Wes. Thanks for listening, everyone, and God bless you and have a good day.